Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, please. We're going to continue on with our study of the Ten Commandments. I'm going to read here. Down to verse 7. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I'll read one more verse here. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Lord God, I would ask now that you would meet with us, that you would preach to us, that we would hear your voice, that we would be changed this moment, this day, now, at this service, Lord, that you would have your way with us. We've prayed, we've sung about these things. Lord, that you would take control of our lives in those deep hidden areas of our hearts that we still seemingly want to hang on for our own selves, that you would remove those places of sin and crud and lust and whatever, Lord, that you would take those places, Lord, and reveal truth to us, Lord, and radically again change us through your Spirit's work from the inside out through the power of your word. Again, in spite of all of us, Lord, that you would help us to hear this morning and with our hearts and minds and souls, Lord, change us. Make us new. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. It's the moral law of God, which is binding upon all of humanity. And because of who God is and all that he has done, we willingly and lovingly obey his commands, his laws. For these Ten Commandments are for the glory of God and for our eternal benefit. We've mentioned already some of the other purposes of the law, but one of the main purposes as a Christians, as a church coming together, it's to reveal what is pleasing to God. We, as born-again children of God, the law enlightens us to what is pleasing to our Father as whom we seek to serve. And the Christian should delight in the law of God as God himself delights in his law. And this is the highest function of the law, to serve as an instrument for the people of God to give him honor and glory. And by studying and meditating on the law of God, we attend the school of righteousness. And we learn what pleases God. We learn what dishonors God and doesn't please God or offends God. The moral law of God that he reveals in Scripture, again, is always binding upon all of us. And our redemption, you'll hear me, our redemption is from the curse of God's law. All right, and that's good news. But not from the duty to obey it. All right? We are justified not because of our obedience to the law, but in order that we may become obedient to God's law. To love Christ, you know these verses, to love Christ is to keep his commandments. To love God is to obey God. If you love me, you will obey me. Amen? That's how it works. And I shared this last week, Matthew 22, great section here. Someone comes up and challenges Jesus or asks Jesus this question, Teacher, what is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus says to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. All right? In other words, the law can be summed up in these two commandments. And we see this happening as God lays out these wonderful commands to Moses. The first four commands or commandments are what? They're aimed in our relationship towards God, our love for God, right? The next six commands are aimed towards our relationship with one another, our love for neighbor. Love for God, love for neighbor. It fits perfectly. And if you want to grab that half sheet of paper, we went over those first two commands last week. We're going to move into the third command, but just some review again. First command is no other gods. It's found in verse 3 in your Bibles. Second command is no graven image, found in verses 4 through 6. And what does it mean to have no other gods? Its focus is to make sure that we worship the one true God. That's the ultimate purpose of that first command. The second command, again, the first commandment has to do with with worshiping the right God. This next commandment, the second command, no graven image, commandment deals more so with the right way in which we worship the right God. He doesn't allow for us to do certain things. He wants our complete and utter worship, and he wants it correctly done, and so on and so forth. You remember, again, I've shared this, I think it was last week, Nadab and Abihu, the priests, sons of Aaron, tried to worship God their own way, tried to mix it up a little, have a little bit of fun there, offered some strange fire, and God struck them dead. And for time purposes, we're going to move right into the third command here. Keep my name holy, verse 7. It says that you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. What are we to make of this command? Many of us quickly go to the idea that it means that we're not to use profanity or cuss or say things like God damn it or Jesus Christ out of anger. And of course, we as creative beings have done our best to try to avoid saying those words explicitly and supplant them with creative things like gosh darn it or Judas Priest, Jiminy Cricket. It's amazing. One of my favorite TV shows growing up, I'll tell you, I loved it, Bonanza. The TV Western ran from 1959 to 1973, and when one of my favorite actors died, they ended the show. But the middle son, it was Adam Haas and Little Joe. Haas created his own swearing slang in which he used the term, dab nabbit. Dab nabbit, Little Joe. You knew he was cussing, he was mad, whatever. I know when I was a youth, which was, of course, just a few years back, if I was to use those phrases that took the Lord's name in vain, you know what happened to me? I got my mouth washed out with soap. Can I just see? I'm just curious. How many of you have had your mouths washed out with soap? Wow. Wow. I was thinking it was just going to be the older generation. That's good to see. My dad would actually pour in some Dawn soap into a glass with water, stir it up, and then make me drink this. It was horrible. But guess what? It worked. It was effective. But again, is this the full and complete meaning found in this third command? You wouldn't be wrong in assuming such, but is making some derogatory statements all there is for this third commandment? Leviticus 19:12 says this, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Leviticus later on, chapter 24, verse 16 says, "Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord will surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name of the Lord shall be put to death." And that happened in the Old Testament. They did stone people that blasphemed or took the Lord's name in vain in a wrong way. There wouldn't be anyone sitting in chairs this morning if we were still to fulfill this commandment to the T, because I'm pretty certain every one of us have broken this third commandment. We should all have been stoned to death many times over. Yet, we live in a culture where everyone seems to invoke the name of the Lord. Have you noticed that? I'm sure you have. Athletes do it. Watch a game after they score a winning touchdown. What do they do? Hey Jesus. They're pointing to the, you know, and it's everything. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, hallelujah. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. They're all excited about it. It's great. I wonder, do they still praise and glorify God when they, you know, fumbled that winning touchdown pass? I hope so. You don't see it very often. Our politicians invoke the name of the Lord. At the end of some of their famous speeches, what do they stand? And their final words are, and may God bless America. You know, I invoke the name of the Lord every time we hit our thumb with a hammer. We do it. I got a friend, and it's so amazing. I've made friends at this other place I work at, Snap Fitness, and one of the guys I know for a fact, his name is Rob, and he's an atheist, and yet the other day again, he goes, in one of his terms, oh God, you know, oh God, I don't know what he's doing or what. Lifted so much weight, oh God, you know, whatever, I don't know. But we do it all the time. It's interesting. Let me read an illustration. A fellow pastor here tells about a time he was on a trip and coming back on the airplane, and it says he boarded a late night flight to return home, and I was tired and looking forward to a rest, and sitting behind me in the airplane were two salesmen whose conversation was peppered with profanity. I had finally had it when they began running the Lord's name into the gutter. I raised myself up from my seat, and you can picture this, and turned around so that I was looking down on them from my perch. And then I asked, are either of you in ministry? And the one on in the aisle seat raised his eyebrows incredulously and said, what? What? In fact, as he says, what the blank? Whatever make you think that? And he says this, well, I am in ministry, I said with a smile. And I am amazed at your communication skills. You just said God, damn, hell, and Jesus Christ in one sentence. I can't get all that into one whole sermon. They both blushed, and I didn't hear another peep out of them for the rest of the flight. Anyway. But that phrase, the name of the Lord, it says we shall not take the name of the Lord. That the name of the Lord, this is a great study, beloved. The name of the Lord is found 106 times in the Bible. That phrase, the name of the Lord. Now, if you add up the name of God, the phrase, the name of God, the name of the Lord, or just do a word search in your English Bible, some of you have had the opportunities to do that on your electronic media, but just look up the word name and how many times it's associated with God or the Lord. That phrase, the name of the Lord, you can do a wonderful study on that, and you would come up with phenomenal meaning behind this commandment. It's so powerful. And there is much to say. There's much in a name. And to understand this name of the Lord phrase is crucial, and it's critical for you and I. I'm not on Facebook, but I know it was on Facebook because Katie showed me the Kemp's babies came out, right? But what did they do on that Facebook page? Remember, they explained to us the names of their babies, right? There was much in a name. I know that we know that Peter already, but they wrote, I think, Peter, the Lord is my rock, or something like that. They said about Nora, that Nora's name is a combination of Heather's both grandmothers, and the middle name is after her mother's name, right? We got all that in that they were. It was important for them to tell us the importance and priority of the name, right? I know certain names. My daughter's Sarah name, her name means princess. My son Joe's name means increasing faithfulness. My son Drew's name means strong and manly, Andrew. So there's a lot in a name, and it made much more, there's much more power in there in these words and the names in this Old Testament time than today. We're a little more frivolous with our names and so on. But there's much in the name, and especially when it comes to the name of Yahweh, our Lord. God's name represents, hear me now, all that He is. And His name is Lord. We know that. His name is God. His name is Ruler. His name is Judge. His name is Mercy. His name is Forgiveness. His name is Grace. His name is Joy. His name is Justice. His name is Righteous. His name is Holy. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Bread of Life. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the Great Shepherd. He is the Light of the World. He's the Lamb of God. He's our Rock and our Refuge and our Fortress. He is the Resurrection and the Life. He is the Lord of Hosts. We sang about it. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Bright Morning Star. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Friend. His name is Savior. He is Lord God Almighty. Amen. What a name! What a name. It's amazing. And chapter 3 of the same book that we've been going through in Exodus chapter 3, one of the very, very first questions that Moses has an opportunity as he, that for the very first time, encounters God in this flaming, burning bush that's not consumed. He asks God, "What is your name?" He says, "I am who I am." So much. When we speak of the name of the Lord, we are speaking of all of God's perfections, His glorious attributes, His divine being, His ultimate majestic character. God's name represents all that He is. And when you and I take His name in vain, we are not representing God in all the fullness of His most awesome person. To take the Lord's name in vain is to sin against God. And to sin against God is to what? Dishonor God. And to dishonor God is to dishonor His great name. What's the opposite of giving God the honor and glory and praise that He alone deserves? The opposite of giving God the honor and glory due His name is to take His name in vain. Beloved, don't take your Christian life and walk for granted. Don't take the Lord's name for granted. Don't show indifference towards Jesus Christ. Don't be lazy and complacent in your faith and trust in Him alone. Let's not cheapen God's amazing grace. May we not presume upon His steadfast love. May we not presume upon His justice and judgment. For every time we do, please hear me, every time we do, we are dishonoring God. All right? We are telling the world that He is not all that important. That His name isn't that great, that He truly doesn't mean that much to us. We are thus making and taking the Lord's great and glorious name in vain. We do. I'm convinced that this particular command is aimed most pointedly at those people who claim to be Christians, but are not. They profess Jesus Christ, but do not possess Jesus Christ. They seem to have all the right motions down, but they truly ain't dancing for Jesus. They say all the right Christian jargon, speech, but they're actually blaspheming the name of the Lord in their hearts. If I was to sum up one singular word that encapsulates this third command, it would be the word hypocrite. Matthew chapter 7. Some of you know this section. Verses 21 to 23, it says this. Not everyone who says to me, now look at, listen to this. Not everyone who says to me what? Lord, Lord. They're calling out his name. Lord, Lord. Yahweh, Yahweh. Jehovah, Jehovah will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, it says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. This is so fascinating. So convicting, so powerful. Did we not say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name? And did we not do mighty works in your name? Redundant, emphasized, in your name, in your name, in your name, Lord, 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 Lord. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is one of the most serious charges in all the Bible. This is a devastating charge. And my question is, where do you think people like this are found today? In church. Right here in this room, possibly this morning. I don't know for sure. I pray not. Jesus' strongest rebukes were always towards the religious elite, those churchgoers, those that thought they had it all together, those that they thought everything is well in my life. I got my two-car garage. I got a warm house. I got my three or four televisions. And if you have that many, don't throw them away. Give them to the poor. But it is, and that's convicting to all. It should be. This is a warning, beloved, to all of us sitting here this morning. The supremacy of God's name cannot be overemphasized. For his name, again, is the name that is above all names. We're not to misuse God's name. We're not to use it in a vain or empty or wasted way. We're not to speak about him flippantly or carelessly or thoughtlessly or sarcastically. And when we do, we're treating him as worthless. We're belittling his holiness. We're taking that which is most sacred and making it sinful, common, secular. Beloved, we often have this tendency to read these Ten Commandments and we see a list of things like cannots and should nots and shall nots. But we're sometimes and oftentimes we're looking at it the wrong way. These commands aren't necessarily meant to be limiting in their scope, but it should open us up to a vast horizon of so much more. Let me explain. In the garden, chapter 2 of Genesis, verses 16 and 17, great verses, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of one particular tree. Just one. Just don't touch that one in the corner, that one little tree over there. Just don't touch of it. Because when you do, if you eat of that tree, it says, you shall surely die. Just don't touch it. But then he has this great verse. Guess what? But you can eat from all the other trees in the garden. Thousands upon thousands of these beautiful, wonderful, sweet-tasting, glory. Wow, you can eat them all. But all these you can have for all of the wow. And yet, what do they do? We know. We're a reflection of their stupidity. But here's the point. Therefore, instead of looking at these commandments, or in this one, in this case, the third command is at the negative of not taking the Lord's name in vain, let's do the opposite. Let's spin it in the positive and lift up His glorious name. Let's do that instead. Let's make much of Jesus. Let's think of all the great and glorious things that we can be said positively as we proclaim the great name of Christ. Let's tell people about the good saving news of the gospel. Let's tell the world that there is a Savior and His name is Jesus. Yes. The Lord's Prayer. This is an astounding study. I just want you to tell. I was so encouraged this week. In a good way. As the Lord uses this to balance me out. The Lord's Prayer is a reflection of this grand truth. Our Father who art in heaven, finish it with me, hallowed be thy name. Amen? It's everywhere in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. I'm going to close with this. Shortest sermon I've ever preached here, by the way. You're so blessed. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9 says this, but he, speaking of Christ now, it says, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, of a slave, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. How? How did he humble himself? It says, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We have here the gospel, the proclamation of the good saving news of Jesus Christ. He died on a cross for your sins and for my sins, for all of us that would put our faith and trust in that promise and that truth and that God. What a gospel. He died for that. Even death on the cross. And the very next sentence is, therefore, brings a conclusion. What's the grand and glorious conclusion of that gospel truth? God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Result being, so that, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, and on earth, and under the earth. And at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen, amen, and amen. Woo! Isn't this glorious? The third commandment's a glorious commandment, isn't it? This is good stuff. I praise God. I thank God. I can't wait for that day. But we, beloved, have the opportunity today to bless our Lord. And we get to sing a song after this and bless our Lord and praise our God and make much of His name, make much of His person, make much of His being. Oh, Lord, I thank You for being who He is. This is so awesome. That's a good word. He is so awesome. Blessed Father God, we want to make much of Your name.
Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I should have been stoned 1,000 times over. And yet you've forgiven me. You've forgiven all of us, those who have put our faith and trust in you. Thank you for these commandments. Thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy. Thank you that your name is hope. Your name is wonderful. That your name is everything. Everything. It's everything. Just the name, just saying your name, it's so sweet. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you. We love you. We pray this in your most holy name. In the name of Jesus, our Christ, our Messiah, our Savior. Thank you.